Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom to each and every one of you tonight and one and all at your home. I'm Derek Witt, and this is Insight on the Word Radio. And we are coming to you live from the meeting place here in Syracuse, New York, of Bethel Study Fellowship. If you are ever in the Syracuse, New York area, and you wanted to study the Word of God with us, which is the wisdom of God, that's our theme, based on Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the ability to discern difference in people, in opportunity, in a moment, as well as in an environment. And I do encourage you and yours to join us every Shabbat at 10:30. If you are not able to come to Syracuse, don't worry. You can also join us on the web at insightontheword.cjb.net, and you can listen to the audio presentation of the Shabbat study. And once again, we are so blessed to have a wonderful expositor of the Word of God, pastor, teacher, and president of the Christian Biblical Church of God in Hollister, California, Fred Coulter, as he continues on the subject of why God hates religion, as well as he will talk about the Jewish festivals for believers who are still celebrating on Sunday. But I'm going to be passing the microphone to the host of Inside of the Word, and she's been doing it for the past 2 weeks, and she will do it again. In the meantime, here she is, Miss Mary Aguilar. Take it away.
Hi, Derek. Hi, everybody. And hi, Fred Coulter. And Fred, it's nice to have you back on.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Yes. We enjoyed last week, and I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy this week.
Okay.
So,
well, maybe some won't, but we'll take it from where it goes.
Well, I know I enjoy it, and Derek does. So.
Oh, yeah. In fact, this is Derek Witt once again. Fred, you've been a blessing.
And you certainly have.
You always got an open invitation to come back on at any given time.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Well, we'll see what we can do to help people understand the Word of God, because that's the whole point in it, especially living in time of such confusion.
Oh, yeah.
In the meantime, here is Mary Aguilar, the host of Inside of the Word tonight.
Okay. So last week we were talking about why God hates religion. So maybe we can continue on that subject. And then I know the other half of the show, Derek wanted you to talk about the New World Order a little bit. So,
okay.
Yeah, so maybe we can hit on that. Then you can tell the listeners where they can go to your website, and I know you're offering a CD on why God hates religion as well. So
yes, we will offer free.
Uh-huh.
On our website, you just write Fred Coulter at cbcg.org. And that's abbreviation for Christian Biblical Church of God .org.
Okay.
And we will send the CD on why God hates religion. We will send the book.
Great.
Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which at no cost.
That's a great book. I read that book. It's really,
okay.
Really informative. Very informative. I learned a lot from that book. Also, let's start with a very strict religious cult. I myself was involved in one. Derek was. You were too. Can you tell us how to distinguish a cult from, say some people that say, "Well, I'm Catholic. I'm not in a cult."
Well, what you find is this. In religion, there are probably more lies than there are in politics. Now, that may be hard to believe.
No, I believe it.
So, the way that you find your, how should we say, the way that you begin to understand how you can distinguish between a cult and the truth of God.
Okay.
That's the basic question. Okay. So we find this in Isaiah, the 8th chapter.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going
Isaiah
in.
8. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people understand that demonism and Satanism or the occult is a cult. And so anything that is associated with that is a cult in one degree or another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll distinguish that here in just a bit because this shows us what we are to do. We're not to rely on feelings. We're not to rely on whether you like the presentation or not. But here's what we are to do. Verse 19, Isaiah 8. And when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and to wizards that peep and mutter. But should not a people seek unto their God? And of course, that's what most people need to do. Seek to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, but they say, well, welcome to this church. We'll lead you to God. Mm-hmm. And the other one across the street says, well, welcome to this church. And by the way, we're better than that church because of this.
Right. Yes, this is what they do.
Sure. And verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony. Now, that's how you are to do it.
The testimony,
So you prove it.
I see. Okay.
1 Thessalians 5:21 says, prove all things. Okay. Don't take anything at surface value. You prove it. That's why the Word of God is here.
That's okay.
If they do not speak according to this work, it is because there is no light in them. And, of course, Jesus was the one who was the light of the world.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we are to look to. That's what we are to follow.
Guideline,
Nothing else.
Right.
Okay. Now, then you begin to look into the Word of God. Now, let's come to 1 John. The epistle of 1 John, because as you will see as we're discussing this, I'm not going to give you my opinion.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is we're going to turn to some scriptures, and then we may even look at some quotes of different organizations and so forth. But we need to be established firmly in the Word of God.
Right.
So here, 1 John 2 and verse 4, says it very clearly. Here is the first test. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
The one who says, I know him, that is, I know Jesus, I love the Lord, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar.
Right.
And the truth is not in him. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, verse 5, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means, we know we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's come back up here to verse 3, because this gives the standard on how we know God.
Okay.
It's not what we profess alone.
Right.
It's what we do.
Okay.
Okay, verse 3, by this standard we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, well, the commandments were done away. Jesus did away with them. Paul did away with them. Well, that's not quite correct because, you see, when anyone says, well, Jesus did away with the law,
right,
and he said he didn't. You are getting into a religion, and you're getting into a cult. Now, a lot of people are in a cult, and they don't realize it.
Right.
And a lot of people call those who keep the commandments
cult keepers.
It's cults.
Yes, they do, yeah.
See?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the opposite way around. So that's why you have to start with the commandments. That's why you have to realize exactly what they are, what the Bible says about them. All right. Now, I'm going to, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. Psalm 119. Now, that is a tremendous psalm. And as we covered last time, we found that the law of God is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can an imperfect man improve upon the perfect word of God?
No.
Well, the answer is no.
Of course
see?
Not, no.
See, it would be like this. If you had the most valuable diamond in the world,
mm-hmm.
and it was perfectly cut,
right?
And let's just say, for the sake of argument, it was as big as a round watermelon. Be beyond price. Perfect. And then someone comes in and says, oh, look what I have over here. And it's the same size,
mm-hmm.
looks the same,
mm-hmm.
but it's made out of glass.
Mm-hmm.
See? So there are counterfeits.
Yes.
See? So this is why you have to go and understand about the commandments of God and truth.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about commandments and truth here.
Okay.
And then we will see what Jesus said.
Okay.
Then we can begin to examine what a religion is, though it may sound like it's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Psalm 119. Okay. Most fantastic psalm that there is. Let me tell you a little bit about it first. It's broken down into 22 8-verse sections, and 22 equals the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why above it you have the Hebrew lettering and then
yes.
the...
I see that, yes.
Yeah, alphabet, Gamil, etc.
Yes.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Now let's come to verse 142.
142.
Right, so we're going to look at these...
I have it. Okay.
Okay. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Now, that means it's not going to be changed or abolished.
Right.
Okay, but notice the next part of it. And your law, that is God's law, is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we first do is establish what is truth by looking to the law and the testimony, and the testimony then is a prophecy of the New Testament. All right, drop down to verse 151.
Okay, okay.
All your commandments are true.
Oh, wow.
See?
I'm marking that one up. I'm marking
yeah. All of them are true.
Yeah.
So if someone comes along and says, oh, well, the God of the Old Testament was harsh, well, you could make a case of that. But why?
Mm-hmm.
We'll cover that in a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
So all your commandments are truth. Now,
okay.
Anything that a man can bring to substitute for God's commandments
is not truth.
Cannot be true.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
So, let's drop down to verse 160.
Okay. Alrighty.
Your word is true from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll just add another one here from John 14. We won't turn there, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, let's drop down to verse 172.
Okay.
All your commandments are righteousness.
Wow.
See, so there,
yeah.
That's how you establish. And also what we're doing in this, we're seeing how to study the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Wow.
Okay, so there are a lot. So I admonish everyone, read the whole 119th Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just do one more verse here. Verse 127.
Okay.
Therefore mm-hmm. I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold.
Yeah. Wow.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yes. Now, let's come to Matthew 22.
Okay.
Matthew 22 gives us an open window to God
mm-hmm.
in understanding his word and our relationship with him, because a lot of people want to know, well, where is God? Is God out there someplace?
Mm-hmm.
And if he is, how can I find him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're beginning to show you how to find him by going through this. But here's what Jesus said when he was asked. Let's come Matthew 22, verse 36. Now, if anyone wants to follow along with the Bible, you can follow along with your Bible. I'm reading from the Holy Bible in its original order, which is dedicated to the truth of God, not adding anything to it or taking from it, but letting the Bible interpret the Bible. Now, that is the key.
Mm-hmm.
See, if anyone wants to understand, well, how can I understand the Bible? Oh, it's so thick. It's got everything in it here. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you start with the simple things like we're doing tonight. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what Jesus said when he was asked, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? Now, verse 37, Jesus said to him, and he was a doctor of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Master, he said, which is the great commandment? And Jesus answered him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the great, first and greatest commandment. So, this shows the effort that we are to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, if you love someone, if you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being, that tells you what? You're not to put anybody else first.
Above him, yes.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the effort that you have with it? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now, most people approach God with a carnal mind.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they want to find something wrong with the laws of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, they need to come to God with an open mind and then realize they've got to love God.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the first and great commandment. Now, verse 39. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just as I mentioned last time, just to take how much we would cut down on a lot of problems and crime and everything like that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if someone wants a good expose on what happened financially, watch CNBC, The House of Cards.
CNBC.
CNBC, The House of Cards special, probably run several times over the weekend.
Okay.
Show how it was lying and greed in Wall Street, and the bankers, in the real estate salespeople, the loan originating people, and the buyers and sellers of houses.
Yes.
And then you add to it, it was the greed of the builders. It was the greed of the suppliers. And everybody was getting more and more and more and more and more. And finally it collapsed, you see.
Yeah.
Why? Because they didn't love
The neighbors themselves.
Love their neighbor.
They loved the money more than the neighbor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now notice what Jesus says. Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
The prophets, yes.
Okay. Now.
Good.
what makes a religion different from the truth of the Bible, though they may use the Bible? And this is why God hates religion, because God says you're not to add to it or take away from it, yet that's exactly what they do.
Right. If you don't mind me, Pastor Fred, once again, I wanted to add a few thoughts in here, too.
Yeah, go. Yes, let's do it. Fire away.
One of the aspects of some of their cults is they have a publication that has supersede the Bible or even a religious leader. I know for one, we can bring up is Charles Taze Russell, who was referred to as the faithful and wise servant. And then later, we read in the Watchtower magazine, especially, that deals with the so-called faithful and discreet slave, which is another name given to the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
So we're seeing us men superseding the Word of God by means of these religious leaders. And I personally would say, hey, before you go and buy that religious book or whatever, measure it to the standard that has already been found in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And, of course, I just want to make a note that there are cults, I already brought up one, that have a religious leader or a publication that supersedes the Bible, or in the Book of Mormon, they will add on to that Bible by means of the Book of Mormon. I want you to expand on that.
Okay, I'll give you a classic example, and you can probably watch on the History Channel or the National Geographic Channel, but probably the History Channel when they give a special on Jimmy Jones.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people haven't heard of Jimmy Jones because that happened back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out here in San Francisco.
Right, I remember that story. Yeah.
And he had charisma, he would preach, everyone would follow along with him. And it got to be a cult because everyone was devoted to Jimmy Jones and not God.
Right.
And it showed one point, which it blew me away when I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Jones took the Bible and threw it down on the floor,
mm-hmm.
jumped on it several times and said, I am your God.
Mm.
See? Mm-hmm. Not the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a cult. What happened to them? They followed him to death and committed suicide.
I know.
Over 400.
I know. It's horrible.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at another cult where they do it not quite as blatantly, but almost, and yet millions of people follow them. You mentioned the Mormons. That's one group. You mentioned the Jehovah's Witnesses, that's another group. But you see, the biggest one, and
Roman Catholic Church.
Roman, and they would not consider themselves a cult. Now I'm gonna give you a quote from My Catholic Faith by Lewis Morrill.
Okay.
And he writes, divine revelation comes down to us by two means, through Holy Scripture. Now, I want you to see how this is put together.
Okay.
And I want you to see where he's leading with it, you see. So he ends up doing the same thing as Jimmy Jones, as you'll see.
Really?
Okay. Holy Scripture written down under it, divine inspiration,
uh-huh.
and through tradition. Handed down orally from apostolic times. A lie. But most people say, oh, is that right? We read the Bible, now listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
We read the Bible with great respect, for it is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We treat tradition with this great reverence, for God speaks through tradition as well. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
We'll see what traditions do in a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice what he says. It is wrong to believe the Bible alone without tradition.
Wow.
See, that's part of the Catechism of the Catholic.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's something.
Mm-hmm, that is something. I see that I didn't know.
See, so that is a religion.
Definitely.
See?
Wow.
And you look at everything that the Catholics have done, they have formed a great religion. So have the Protestants, so have the Buddhists, so is Islam, so have the Judaism, Hinduism, okay?
Yeah.
Now notice what he says here again. He says, quote, "It would have been possible for the church," that is a Catholic church, "to bring the truths of Jesus to all mankind without the Bible."
Wow.
Now, the Bible says, "To the law and the testimony."
That's right, yeah.
So, and then there are a lot of things. So that's how you build a religion. You replace the truth of God with your own standards, your own interpretations, and then it becomes a religion. Yes, you use God, but what happens?
Then you take him out of the picture.
Yes. Now, who is more important?
God.
Right. But when you are locked into a cult...
You don't see it. You don't see it.
Right. See, who is most important in a cult? The leader.
Yes, and the members. The members. A lot of them, like I call them rats. They spy on you, or like they try to, you know.
Oh yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're programmed that way.
Oh yes.
I myself was. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I was doing it too. Like I'd say, oh, I started becoming like that myself. Well, look what she has on. She shouldn't be wearing that. And then, you know, who am I to be judging people, you know? But you can't help but to mold into that, because that's what permeates the air. It permeates from the top. They're so afraid of apostasy or somebody's eyes opening, so they got to keep on top of the members, you know?
Yes. Well, another thing is this. People will be told, well, you can't study the Bible on yourself. You can't understand
yes.
it yourself.
Oh,
you need a priest.
That's what they say. They say that in the Jehovah Witness, too. You cannot study the Bible independently because you can't understand it. So what they do is they have, supposedly, it's called a Bible aid, and that actually takes you through the Bible. But without that book, you really can't learn the Bible, because they use the excuse, I think it was the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes.
And that's kind of, they use that one as the excuse that, I forget what apostle it was, but he was asking him, do you know what you're reading? And he said no, and then he was explaining it to him. And that's the excuse. They said, well, even the eunuch didn't know it. He had to be taught. So, but really, to tell you the truth, the apostle didn't have a Bible aid in his hand. But you don't look at it. Like anything that they say, you don't really, you know, question it, because you think they're telling you the truth. So you never
yes.
question anything.
Yes.
You
now, God says men are not to add to or take away from. The only one who can add to or take away from is Jesus Christ. But in a lot of people say, well, he did away with the priestly laws. No, he fulfilled them because he is the high priest.
That's right. Oh,
he did away with the animal sacrifices.
Right.
They're no longer there, but whose sacrifice is greater?
Jesus'
sacrifice. See?
Right.
So it goes from the physical, what Jesus did in fulfilling the law and the prophets as he said he would do, and of course everything has not yet been fulfilled as he said, it's still being fulfilled.
Right.
So what we have is this, is that, okay, everybody there?
Yes, I sound like we lost, okay.
Okay, just checking. Okay, after last week, got to check.
I know, right?
Tell me about it. And if you're just joining us, thanks so much. I'm Derek Witt. Mary Aguilar is the host of Inside the Word for this week. I will be back July the 10th with a special guest, Tex Mars, from The Power of Prophecy. But meantime, if you have any questions for our guests, Fred Coulter or even Mary Aguilar, now's a good time to jump into this conversation. The number is 347-945-7601. You can go into our chat room, and there are 13 people that are on, whether if you are in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, we welcome you and yours to join us. And like I said, Fred Coulter is a breath of fresh air here for this outreach, and certainly, I mean, he's been a blessing to me. And if there's anybody that'd like to get a copy of the Holy Bible in its original order, like I do, and certainly I've put it to very good use now, I've put away the New King James Version, by all means, whatever resources, or if you wanted to get some of the sermons that Pastor Coulter has, you can go to www.cbcg.org, and you can tell them that Insight on the Word have sent you there. But in the meantime, you know, you can post whatever on the chat room with your thoughts, questions. Call the ministry line, the listener line, excuse me, at 347-945-7601, or you can email me at derekwitt@yahoo.com. In the meantime, Mary Aguilar is the host with her guest, Pastor Fred Coulter himself.
Okay. Let's pick up where we left off on...
Okay.
I lost it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. We're talking about religion and we're talking about tradition.
Right.
Okay? So let's come to Mark, the 7th chapter. Now, I might also mention... to Derek also, and I'll send Derek a copy of it, but it's going out of print because it's from the Hebrew Publishing Company, and unfortunately, they're going out of business because of the recession. But it is a book called The Code of Jewish Law.
The Code of Jewish Law?
The Code of Jewish Law by Gansfried and Golden. Now, what is very important with this is, most people believe that the Jews keep the laws of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite correct.
Mm-hmm.
See, they keep the form of the laws, but how to keep them has all been superseded with traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Jews did, they said, look, we want to... And they said the same thing as the Catholics here, passed down by oral tradition. They said, well, this was passed down from Moses' time, but it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did, they added many traditions as a fence around the law to keep people supposedly from sinning. But what it did, it fenced the law, and they never got to the law because it was all their tradition, see?
Mm-hmm.
So tradition should never be added to the Word of God.
Right.
Because here is what it does. Mark 7.
Okay.
And this was quite a dispute. A lot of people don't understand this chapter here. And as a matter of fact, the NIV made a blatant mistranslation and the conclusion of this, which we may get to here as we go through. So, the Pharisees, we'll just start in verse 1 and we'll read down here. And as we do so, we'll get some principles out of it, and then we can ask questions about, do I believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God. Well, do you believe His Word? Well, not all of it. I believe this part, but I don't know about that part. If you believe it, do you obey it? Well, no. Our priest says this, and we have this tradition, or the rabbi says this, and we have this tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So here, Mark 7 gives us the whole principle with all traditions. And when they saw some of his disciples eating with defiled hands, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault.
Mm-hmm.
For the Pharisees and all the Jews, holding fast to the tradition of the elders, do not eat unless they wash their hands thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Even when coming from the market, they do not eat unless they first wash themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many other things that they have received to observe, such as the washing of cups and of pots and of brass vessels, utensils, and tables. Now, so this is why they came to Jesus. Verse 5, questioned him, saying, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites. Now, that's important to understand, because if you believe in tradition over the word of God, you are a hypocrite, and any priest or pastor or minister who tells you that is a hypocrite, and we'll see why a little later on. And as I said, there are more liars and hypocrites in religion than in politics. All right, let's go on. So he said, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Now, where did we start out? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Okay?
Yes.
Their hearts are far away. Because, see, most people want a religion so they can feel comfortable.
Yes.
And so that they can be assured that they're good people.
Yes.
But that is a substitute for conversion.
Exactly. Right.
See, what God wants, he wants repentance and baptism and conversion with his Holy Spirit, because he loves people.
Yes.
But they don't want that. They want their way. Now, notice what verse 7 says. So I want everyone to think. They go to church, or they go to synagogue, or they go to Catholic Mass. I want you to think. When you walk into that building, are you doing this? But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, this is Jesus speaking, who said he would not abolish the law.
Right.
And let's just add a little flavor in here to that, too, also this way. If Jesus didn't abolish the law, what gives anyone the right to take it upon themselves to abolish the law?
Right.
They have no authority, see?
No, they don't.
So that creates a religion.
Yeah.
So therefore, you have the Catholic religion, and they're divided into the Orthodox and the Latin and the various languages, you see. And you have the same thing with all religions.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're worshiping God, but mm-hmm. Christ says, you worship me in vain if you're teaching doctrine and commandments of men. For here's what they do. For leaving the commandment of God, you hold fast the traditions of men. Now, that's any tradition. It can be, we have a tradition that Mary ascended into heaven. We have a tradition that on Groundhog Day, we have Candlemas Day. We have a tradition for this. We have a tradition for that. When you walk into the church, you must do the sign of the cross. You must genuflex. You must, all of this, see? And, of course, Mary, you're familiar with all that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am. That's for sure. You know what I always thought was a good one? Jesus was born December 25th. I'm being sarcastic. But Mary went to heaven. What did she do? She ascended. She ascended on December the 8th. And then she gave birth on the 25th. That really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
I can't figure that one out.
I know.
Me neither. That's
but you see, you don't see it, though. Like, when you're in it, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
She went to heaven on December 8th, but she gave birth on the 25th. Does that make a lot of sense?
Well,
you don't see it.
Yeah, well, I suppose they could figure that out, but you see, neither one of them are true, because Jesus said no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven.
That's right.
Now, what are you going to do with that?
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree with that, yep.
So, let's read on here just a little bit, you see. Verse 9, then he said to them, full well do you reject the commandment of God so that you may observe your own traditions. Now, here's one of the things they did. Verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, whatever benefit you might receive from me is Corban, that is, set aside as a gift to God. God doesn't want it. See? Then he is told he's not obligated to help his parents. And you excuse him from doing anything for his father or his mother, nullifying the authority of the word of God by your tradition, which you have passed down, and you practice many such traditions such as this. So you can take and apply that to any tradition. Oh, well, we keep Sunday because the Catholic Church established Sunday and transferred all the solemnity of the Sabbath to Sunday, and that was 321 A.D., by a pagan emperor named Constantine. See? You can take that, to anything. Well, we keep Christmas because the church said Jesus was born on Christmas. Well, that Bible doesn't say he was born on Christmas. And a lot of people say, oh, but it's such a wonderful time. But it's all based on a lie. So that's why you need to understand the Word of God is true. God cannot lie.
Right.
It's impossible. God loves us. God cares for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us eternal life. His way.
Right.
His way. So,
and if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Inside on the Word. I'm Derek Witt. Mary Aguilar is the host, and our guest is Fred Coulter from the Christian Biblical Church of God in Hollister, California. And once again, if you got questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with us at any time. Once again, the listener line is 347-945-7601. Or you can go into our chat room, which is up and running, and we have 15 people that are tuning in. So we're very much, this is a very powerful lesson that you're getting. And it's a little bit to deal with, but we are challenging you tonight to examine your faith in connection with the Word of God, because your belief system is going to bring either comfort or it will bring change. With that thought in mind, here's Mary with our guest, Greg Coulter.
Okay, Mary. All right. Now, let's look at a couple of other things, because one of the things that we're told in the Bible is we are not to add or take away from.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and some people are going to say, oh, that's the Old Testament. That's true. But the Old Testament is the foundation for the New. Let's see what God told the children of Israel. Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Okay, we find also this very similar in Deuteronomy 4.
Okay.
All right. Deuteronomy 12, and let's come here to verse 28. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28.
Okay.
All right. Be careful to observe and obey all these words which I command you, because there are four words that tell you about the Bible. Obey the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quickest summary you can know. That it may go well with you. See, because God loves you. God wants it to go well. Do you have trouble in your life? Do you have trouble with your children? Do you have trouble with your husband and your your wife? Do you have trouble with people? Why? Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor? Do you keep the commandments of God? See?
Mm-hmm.
God wants it to go well with you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our whole nation. It's going terribly disastrous.
Yeah, I know.
And we're almost being sucked up into a vacuum of lies so great
it
may be irredeemable.
I know.
okay, that will go well with you and your children after you forever when you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. And what is good and right? What God commanded them to do. Mm-hmm. When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations before you where you go to possess them. Now, as I'm reading this, I want all the listeners to think about the United States of America and how it came about, because here tomorrow's the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful nation that we have, which says, you know, from sea to shining sea, you know, the waves of green and everything, God gave us this beautiful land.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's taking it away unless we repent. All right. Then he says, okay, when the Lord your God shall cut off the nations where you go to possess them, and you take their place to dwell in the land, didn't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
From sea to shining sea?
Mm-hmm.
Take heed to yourselves that you do not be ensnared by following them.
Mm-hmm.
That is, their pagan religions.
Yeah.
After they are destroyed from before you, and do not ask about their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise? Now here's God's command. This is why the whole religious movement today, to bring all religions together in a one big happy family world religion, is antichrist and against God and against the Word of God. Verse 31, you shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. Even their sons and their daughters, which we covered last time, they have burned in the fire to their gods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 32 is the key. Whatsoever thing that I command you, be careful to do it, you shall not add to it, nor take away from it.
Wow, that's a good one.
See, now we have that also in the New Testament.
Yeah,
see?
You're right.
And today it's hard for people to grasp that because everyone has an opinion. I have an opinion, and my opinion is right, and it's sacred to me. And a lot of people say, you have your truth, and I have my truth. Well, no, it doesn't go that way, you see.
Mm-hmm. Truth is the truth. Yeah.
Truth is the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, let me show you one of the greatest ironies in the book of Exodus.
Okay.
All right. Let's come to Exodus 31.
Okay.
Exodus 31. Let's begin here in verse 13.
Okay.
And I'm sure that, Derek, you've read this many times, haven't you?
Yes, I have. In fact, I encourage those to look at this, seriously.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Here God has Moses has been on top of Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights getting all the instructions from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And right in chapter 31, he's summing up the Sabbath day, just before Moses is to come down with the two tablets
mm-hmm.
of the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God. Verse 13, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbaths shall you keep, or truly you shall keep my Sabbaths. Now, stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
What does the word my indicate?
That they're his. Or
he owns it.
Right.
If he owns it, he created it.
Right.
He blessed it.
Mm-hmm.
He sanctified it. Now, why would anyone say it has been done away or fulfilled? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now notice, Truly you shall keep my Sabbaths. There's an S on the end of that, and that is plural, because every holy day is also a Sabbath.
Yes.
All right? For it. Mm-hmm. Now, that means the keeping of.
Mm-hmm.
Is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
Yes.
Now, we are sanctified in the New Testament by the blood of Christ,
mm-hmm.
by the word of God,
yes.
and by the Holy Spirit of God. So, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you cannot be sanctified because you don't have the blood,
right.
the word,
right.
the spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the commandments. You have to have all.
Right.
Okay? So, he says here, verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Meaning, if you're working on the Sabbath, you've cut off your access to God.
Mm-hmm.
Going to church on Sunday doesn't make up for it, because Sunday, as we'll see here in just a minute, was the great fatal mistake and the great irony that happened while Moses was being given these commandments here.
Mm-hmm.
6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now, perpetual means forever.
Yes.
All right. Let's stop here in just a minute. The spiritual children of Israel are those who have the Spirit of God called the Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They still keep the Sabbath because this is in addition to the covenant that he gave to Israel. This is a perpetual covenant.
Right. Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now let's just stop here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because God sanctified the Sabbath and blessed the Sabbath, he puts his spirit into the Sabbath day for those who keep the Sabbath day in spirit and in truth. Okay? That's how you have contact with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you work on the Sabbath day or sports on the Sabbath day or, you know, go out and carouse around Friday night, you're cut off from God.
Right.
Okay? Now, verse 18. And he gave to Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's read chapter 32. What was going on down at the camp? All right?
Oh, boy.
What did the people
camp?
Do with their free choice?
They worshiped. They
making a golden calf.
Yes, you see, they didn't stop and think. They said, oh, where's this Moses? We don't know. It's a volcano. Maybe he fell in and he's all burned up. See, we don't know what's happened to him. They didn't stop and think about all the miracles that God performed to bring him out of Egypt.
Yeah,
see?
Isn't that something?
Okay, so here's what happened. This is the great irony, because as God was giving the instructions for the Sabbath, they were doing pagan worship, and it was, as we will see, sun god worship with a golden calf, and so they wanted their Sunday at the same time that Moses was getting the commands for the Sabbath.
Wow, I never looked at it like that.
Blow your mind, right?
Yeah.
Now,
wow.
Verse 1, chapter 32.
Okay.
Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, then the people gathered themselves together to Aaron, and they said to him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, what happened to God? See, whenever you get your mind on a man, you lose God.
That's true.
All right. Right. We do not know what has become of him. Now, Aaron should have said, hey, folks, cool it.
Yeah, he should.
He should have said, God is true. Look at all the miracles. Don't worry about it. Have faith in God or he'll be here. So Aaron didn't do that. He said to them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them to me. Mm-hmm. And all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he took them from their hand and fashioned it. Aaron made the golden calf.
Isn't that something?
The one who was to be high priest. Now, what this tells us is really something, because this, in a way, is a prophecy of the way that Israel would act when they got into the promised land, which they did. So he fashioned it with a graving tool. I wonder if Aaron was an idol maker in Egypt.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
And made a golden calf. How would he know how to make it unless he had made him before? Okay.
Right.
And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Now, you've seen this golden calf. It's got the horns.
Yes.
And it's got the sun disk between the horns. This is Egyptian Baal.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Now notice what Aaron did. And when Aaron saw the calf, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. I wonder if that was Sunday. Don't know. But the irony of the situation could be. You can't say dogmatically, but could be. Now, how many times do people say, oh, the Feast of the Nativity, it's a feast of the Lord? No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Feast of Christmas. Oh, the All Hallowed Eve. It's to the Lord. Easter is to the Lord. Hanukkah is to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What holy day? Ramadan is to the Lord. It, all religions have that. But here is the source of religion. Men want to change what God has given.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they want to have a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So verse 6, they rose up early on the next morning, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Oh, man, they're going to have a feast. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let's have a sex party here is what it was. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get you down, for the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And I always get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
When the people do well, they're his. They belong to God. When they don't do well, they're Moses's.
That's cute.
Okay.
It is kind of funny how this dialogue between Yahweh and Moshe or Moses begins with that. Here's my people, then here's the trouble with these, trouble brews, and Yahweh turns around and says, here's the people that you brought out at this point. And it is a good observation. I never thought of that. But
sure. Sure. Okay. Let's continue. Well, we'll just summarize it. Moses came down. He heard the sound. And, Joshua said, well, we don't know what it is. And he said, it's not good. So it's not the sound of victory. He said, I'm hearing the sound of singing. So he came down, and verse 19, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hand, broke them at the bottom of the mountain. Verse 20, he took the calf which he had made and burned it into fire, pulverized it into powder, scattered it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. So after he did that, he probably came with blazing eyes and looked at his brother Moses and said, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? And here's Aaron. And he said, oh, let not your anger, the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people that they are set on mischief. For they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. So I said to them, bring the gold. They brought it. And he said, and they gave it to me, verse 24, and I threw it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Voila.
Right.
See?
I like this part where it says, and there came out this calf. Wait a minute, but...
It came out by itself?
Right. That's amazing. Aaron trying to shift the brain.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I have a... Before we take a little bit of a break, and I'm going to give Fred a breather, Leon Ritchie have asked the question, explain about Rome's challenge. And I'd like for you to elaborate on what is this challenge from Rome.
Oh, Rome's challenge. We have Rome's challenge in the occult holiday or God's Holy Day book. Now, in 1893, I don't know if I have a time to elaborate on that, but that was a key pivotal year in the Christian movement in America. And it was at the World Fair in St. Louis, and the Protestants all got together, and they said, oh, we want the fair to close down on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. So the Seventh-day Adventists came and said, no, it should be open on Sunday. And so this started a great controversy, and it gave an open door for the Cardinal Gibbons of Baltimore to produce quite a dissertation. And we have the full dissertation here in the Occult Holidays book. And he shows that the Seventh-day Adventist, and what he did, and I think it was really quite something, this was run in the Catholic Mirror and also the Baltimore newspaper. And it was talking about how the Catholics instituted the day of Sunday and that the Protestants who rail against the Catholics are only following the Catholic Church and not the Bible.
Right.
So, here the enemy of the truth, the purveyor of all the traditions that are not of God, but of paganism, claimed to be religion, makes it very clear. He said, if you go through the Bible, you're not going to find one place from Genesis to Revelation which sanctifies Sunday, period.
Right.
We did it. See. Then he says, you Protestants claim, I thought, very compelling, so that's why we include it in here. You Protestants claim that you believe in solo scriptural, that is, only the Bible and Bible only.
Right.
Yet, you keep Sunday, which is not in the Bible. And every place where it says the first day of the week, he goes through and shows it doesn't mean what the Protestants have said. So he warns them and says that since God says it's death for not keeping the Sabbath, you Protestants are in a suicidal mode. You ought to do like the Seventh-day Adventist and keep the Sabbath, because that was the only Sabbath group you knew of at that time. If not, quit stealing from us Sunday. You either become Catholic and stand wholly on Catholic ground, or follow the Bible and keep Sunday. Now, that's the best summary of about a 16-page thing that you can read, but it is absolutely intriguing.
And if you are interested in getting any information, or like literature, sermons, as well as this wonderful Holy Bible in its original order, and I love it myself, I use it now, and it is a fantastic, not just for studies, but also I prepare my Shabbat studies with this Bible, and including reading this on my personal time. You may want to go visit www.bbcg.org and get this. This is the resources are fantastic, and I just encourage you just to go to God's Word alone. And don't take man's word for it, don't take our word for it, don't take my word for it. Just go ahead and do that. We're going to take a break. Mary is the host of Insight on the Word. Brett Coulter, who is our guest, and he's been great. We're going to be shifting gears in just a bit. And if you got questions for Mary, she's the host of Insight on the Word. I'm going to be coming back next Friday night. So just go ahead, call 347-945-7601, email me at derekwood@yahoo.com, or join about 15 individuals that are in our chat room tonight, and you'll be glad to do that. We're going to be returning in just a bit for more Insight on the Word.
The Obama deception is about who the real Barack Obama is, not the right-wing version or the left-wing version. We cut through all that. We show who's financing, the lies he is told, and what his real agenda is. The Obama deception will be the first major documentary put out after his election that is critical. All the right-wing guys are still making films about, is he really from Kenya or is he a communist? We're not touching any of those red herrings, whether they're true or not. We don't know. We can't prove it. We do know he lied about keeping troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. We do know he lied about warrantless wiretapping. We do know he lied about shutting down camps. We do know that he lied about getting rid of NAFTA and GATT and is now expanding it. And so this film is about Obama being a puppet, who he works for, and then we get past the puppet to the real agenda of his controllers. Barack Obama is controlled by offshore banks. This film details how they bankrupt the world economy, how they control the currencies of the planet, and how the bankers want to destroy the economy so they can buy everything up for pennies on the dollar. That's why the Obama deception is so important, because it gives you the master plan. It gives you the big overarching agenda so you understand how the world really works and where this planet's going. And it gives you, the viewer, the choice to be conned, to be a sucker by the Republicans, the Rush Limbaughs on the right, and by the controlled left, the Obamas, or whether you want to finally break the spell, break the paradigm, and realize they're all bought and paid for, and the real enemy are these private banks running these giant Ponzi schemes. When the public finds out they've had their entire futures robbed, when they find out that a total tyranny has been brought into place, they are going to get so angry, the elite has to bring in the police state. They have to put regular army troops on the streets. They have to have FEMA camps. They have to get rid of habeas corpus and have secret arrest, because the public is going to be in open revolt, and the government admits they're gearing up to use the military against the American people. 6 months before Obama was elected, when he was still an underdog, we had figured out that he was the heir apparent, that he was the anointed one, that he was the special person that the elite was going to put in power to sell the public on their agenda. Then I saw how the media was getting behind him in such a unified way, and I knew the media likes to pose as liberal or conservative, but really they're owned by the bomb makers. They're owned by the military-industrial complex and the big banks. So they had to come in with a Madison Avenue fraud. They had to put a black face on the New World Order, as Candace One and Webster Tarpley and many others have said. They had to give people a stake in it with just the surface packaging of, oh, look, he's black. Things have changed. You know, everything's okay. Stand down. This is an attempt to suppress revolution. This is an attempt to suppress a massive renaissance taking place worldwide for the globalist tyranny. And so that's why we've made the Obama Deception. And that's why we're asking listeners and viewers to get the film, to make copies of it, to get it out to everyone they know. And one thing I want to make clear, I respect Barack Obama's supporters. Their fervent support of him wasn't so much about Obama, it was about a repudiation of George Bush, clearly stealing two elections, clearly attacking the Constitution and Bill of Rights from one end to the other, and lying about WMDs and all these wars and the million-plus dead Iraqis. The American people don't like all this being done in their name, so they were desperate for somebody who promised to change it. But as soon as he got in, he flip-flopped on all of it. But he didn't just stop there. He then accelerated the whole program. This film is reaching out to people that are supporting Barack Obama, and it's saying, please, just take the time out to watch this film. Take the time out, write down notes, research the claims we make. We're saying that no matter who's in office, this agenda continues, and until we address the power behind the throne, until we address these roundtables, these private banking consortiums, these corporate systems that have taken over our governments, just like they take over another corporation in a hostile takeover, until we address that, nothing's going to get better. The elite saw a revolution brewing in the United States and all over the world against globalism and the globalist agenda. We can actually use the hype of Obama. We can actually use his betrayal to once and for all wake up the people and shatter the false left-right paradigm forever. You know, I get passionate when I talk about documentaries, the films I make, because I know the elite's corrupt. I know they're evil. I know they've lied. I know they assassinate leaders. I know they're doing all these horrible things, that they're totally ruthless. And I just want the people to look at the information that I've discovered, the information that's open and public for all to see. And I just burn with desire for people to stop being suckered and conned. Because if we do have a new renaissance, if a large portion of the population does realize that they've been scammed and lied to, we can turn this around and so many good things can be done. The Obama Deception comes to the InfoWar March 15th at 6 p.m. when I finish my Sunday radio show. 6 p.m. it will be released at prisonplanet.tv in super high res for folks to download and begin giving the DVDs out immediately. It will also start shipping that Monday on the super high quality DVD to everybody out there that wants it in their library from InfoWars.com. And so I want to encourage everybody out there, get involved right now. Get the film in your hands. Get it out to everybody you know. PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com. This is America's last chance. This film can and will change the minds of people that are under Obama's spell.
I'm Derek Witt. Thanks for tuning in to Inside on the Word. Before we get into a very special area that we're going to be introducing to everyone next week, as we get into the subject, and Brett will be, well, I like to say, he's going to kick things off on this subject. Yahweh has blessed me with a wonderful group of guys. I've played in a band. A lot of you are aware that I am a bass player and composer and vocals for the rock group Lumination here in Syracuse, New York. And one of the hits that have made some big moves online, and it's been the most popular track with the release of the movie, The Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. And if you've been a teenager, you come home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you turn on that TV set, drop your books, get to that TV set before doing homework and watch, let's see, I remember when I was a kid, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, Transformers, but it was like in Buffalo, it was the Thundercats, then the Transformers, and then G.I. Joe. But other than that, you know, I grew up with, you know, the cartoons. In today's world, they don't make the cartoons like they used to. Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, Tom and Jerry, all the classics. This is one of them. And so we decided to do a special tribute to this band, you know, to the cartoon series, and now it has returned into movies, which have became a blockbuster. This is on the Bad Reputation EP. It is entitled Rodimus Prime Galvatron Battle Theme, and we hope that you enjoy it. And we will be back once again with Fred Coulter as we get into the subject on the New World or New World Odor, not Order. I call it Odor because it stinks, and you'll find out why. This is Inside on the Word. Mary Aguilar is the host, and we'll be back once again in just a bit. In the meantime, here is Rodimus Prime Galvatron Battle Theme on Inside on the Word. Prime Galvatron battle theme is a tribute track to the Transformers. And I have to say to everyone, if it wasn't for Elohim that gave us the talents and skills, this would have been possible. And, of course, you would not have the opportunity here myself, aside from being the host of Inside of the Word, as well as the Messianic teacher for the Bethel Study Fellowship. Mary Aguilar is the host. Fred Coulter is our guest. We are so grateful to have him back on. And we're going to be picking up on a subject that is very much of great importance to talk about, and we're going to be talking about this throughout the month of July, and that is the New World Order, or the New World Odor, because it's going to stink. With that in mind, here's Mary Aguilar with our guest, Fred Coulter.
Fred, I noticed on your website, and I listened to it, in December 4th, 2004, the coming economic tribulation. It's interesting that you had that on there since 2004. I'm sure you've done other sermons.
Yes.
It's interesting that you talk about the economics, because that's really what we're going through right now. So if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Yes. Anybody can go online and download that sermon, and also there's a letter that accompanies it that I was warning all those on my mailing list, all the brethren in the church, that there are coming economic distress such as we have not heard of ever in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to come with great severity, and we are already past the threshold on that right now.
And that was in 2004.
2004.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
Now, that's why I did the ad in Washington Times and also the CD. It's not the economy, stupid. It is God.
That's right.
See, because God is bringing this upon the nation and the world because the world has rejected him. See, so God operates this way. If we repent and draw close to him, he will forgive us and help us. If we resist him and do not repent, and that means stop all your lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, homosexuality, idolatry, Sunday worship, holiday worship. You have to turn, yeah, sports, gambling, pornography. Because, you see, God views the nation differently than we do from our own individual lives as we are looking out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here in Deuteronomy 28, God forewarns what is going to happen, and it's happening right now. A lot of people wonder, so there are many elements to this, so
mm-hmm.
please realize that. A lot of people wonder, well, I wonder why they don't take care of the border. Because
mm-hmm.
they are committing all those abortions, as I said last time.
Mm-hmm.
But notice what's going to happen because of the border. Deuteronomy 28. So
mm-hmm.
get your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 28. And that's going to tell you what is happening right now and where it is going to lead to. And we find in the book of Revelation and other prophecies in the Old Testament that support it. But what is happening to America, since we are the remnant of the 10 tribes of Israel here in America, as well as the United Kingdom, this is what's happening to us. Verse 43, the stranger, Deuteronomy 28, verse 43, the stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high. Now, the stranger means the foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you shall come down very low. So the process has started.
Yeah.
Now here's how that has come about. He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. See, up until 1982, we were a creditor nation, and the world owed us money.
Uh-huh.
But now, we're the most profligate, corrupt, that we owe everybody trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to put up with it. Mm-hmm. And God is not going to put up with it either, because there's no repentance. Mm-hmm. He shall become the head instead of you. And where were we? We were leading the whole world, right?
Yeah.
And you shall become the tail. And all these curses, you need to read all of Deuteronomy 28, mm-hmm. shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to keep his commandments and statutes, which I commanded you. And they shall be a sign, they shall be on you for a sign and for a wonder on your seed forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Mm-hmm. That's where we are. Now, just talk a little bit about financial situation today. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of reports. People send them to me. Mm-hmm. I get monetary reports, mm-hmm. commodity reports, mm-hmm. All of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are two reports out, which mm-hmm. I'm trying to verify, mm-hmm. but sound very credible.
Okay.
Which is, as the advertisement said, the bankers are the ones who are controlling it.
Right.
The G20
mm-hmm.
is being formulated to bring about a world economic system.
Yes.
Okay. Now, all nations are in economic trouble.
Yes.
All banks in all nations are on the verge of collapse. So, the reports that I got mm-hmm. indicate that there may very well be a bank holiday sometime this fall.
What do you mean a bank holiday?
Close every bank in the world and bring in the new system.
Really?
They could do that just like that.
Really?
Possible. Maybe it won't be in every nation all at once, but they are going to bring in a world economic system.
Wow.
And all of that, people look at the political scene, they look at the monetary scene, but they don't understand it's because of their sins and rejecting God. And it's because of their religions, and it's because of their Sunday keeping, and Christmas, and Easter, and Halloween, and all of the other sins, the gross sins of lying, cheating, stealing, murdering, you know, all of those things. So,
horrible.
It is. Now, it's coming. We are in the same position today unless we repent. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, just before the final invasion, God said, all right, I'm going to give you one last chance through Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you will turn to me and keep the Sabbath, I won't send the invader in.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused to do it.
Wow.
The invaders are here.
Mm-hmm.
All they need to do is just wait for the moment. And it's going to be just like was said on that ad. Exactly. So if there is a bank holiday, close all the banks, revaluate the dollar, probably 20 cents on the dollar you'll have left in your bank account.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if they're going to bring in the world currency at that time. We don't know. So this, some of it is based upon looking at the reality of what's taking place, reading these reports, and knowing that these reports down through all the history of this great turndown that we're having in America mm-hmm. have been accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so suppose this happens, and then where do we stand as a nation?
Okay, where do we stand?
Uh-huh.
We're in servitude.
That's what I thought, okay. So, in other words,
I was going to ask, there's a couple of questions that was raised in our chat room, one from Nana's memory, is the username, as well as Wayne Julian. They asked about the bank holiday. Where can they find this information?
Go to Gold World.
Gold World.
There's another one by Pritchard.
Gold World.
There's another one by Nouriel Maliki. I don't have it right here handy with me.
Mm-hmm.
But just do a Google search for bank holiday.
Oh, okay.
You'll probably come up with it.
Bank holiday.
Wow. So we're going to expect.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Now, where's all this leading? Okay. Just as the Jews did not repent when God told them to repent, he sent Nebuchadnezzar in to destroy them and take them off into captivity into Babylon.
Yes.
Now we are looking at a whole world global system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Satan has been given permission to bring in a world government.
Mm-hmm.
That's what all of this is all about. You read about the G20. Go online, do a Google search, get all the information on the G20.
Mm-hmm.
And the sum of it is going to be, there will be a world government because the world is in rebellion against God, and the descendants of Israel, instead of serving God, have become like the rest of the nations. So here comes, let's go to Revelation 13.
Okay.
Let's see what's going to happen here. Let's see where this is going to go, because it's going to happen in every nation. It's going to happen to the whole world. So this is big time prophecies being fulfilled. One thing that people need to understand is this. When you read in the book of Revelation that it's the whole world, it is the whole world.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people have said, well, I wonder if Obama is the Antichrist. No, the Antichrist is going to be spectacular. He is going to be the world ruler who will be hailed as God manifested in the flesh. And here's the system he's coming out of. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, when you go to Revelation 17 and the beast and the woman, you find that the waters are people, nations, languages, and tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this looks like a grassroots effort, but it's not. It's a top-down from Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, most people do not realize it, but the United Nations has divided the world into 10 regions.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to regionalize. But I think that they're going to try and get the world banking system in first, because then they can bring the rest.
Right.
Now, here's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The beast that I saw was like a leopard, and that comes from ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm.
His feet like the feet of a bear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we might call Russia today,
mm-hmm.
his mouth, the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. So this is straight out of the cauldron of the occult, straight out of the cauldron of the super elite, the mysterious government behind all governments in the world, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's going to come a man.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes, he's going to have some trouble, because verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole world was amazed and followed the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can see how that's going to happen. All you need to do is just look at the crazy funeral that's going to take place in Los Angeles for Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just gone wild over it. Mm-hmm. Well, when the Beast comes on the scene, is a powerful man and is going to bring the world out of all of their troubles, they're going to say he's the one. But then he's going to have this deadly wound. It's going to be healed, and then they're going to say, oh, he's resurrected from the dead. And they worship the dragon. That's why it's important to understand in your religion, in your church, do you worship God, or do you have traditions, or do you really worship a false Christ, a false God? You're worshiping Satan, mm-hmm. who gave his authority to the beast. And Satan told Jesus, if you worship me, I will give you all these nations, for it's given to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Yeah. See, so that's where the beast is going to come from. And they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who has power to make war against him? Mm-hmm. Now notice, these next verses become very key. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months, that is, after the deadly wound was healed. Now notice what he does. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven, which are all the angels of God. And he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. Now, so being a true Christian is going to be a risky business down the road. Mm-hmm. See? Now, notice the next part of that. And authority, yes, overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Except those who, see, the true Christians will not worship him. Mm-hmm. All who will worship him will be those who have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Then he says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. So this great political system is coming. Military system is coming. Police state is coming. Because people have rejected God. Now, the second part of this is a religion. And they work together. Mm-hmm. And there is coming a mark of the beast. We're getting very close to it.
Yeah. Yep. In fact, I was going to ask, based upon what we are seeing being done with children being having a microchip in their skin in the hospitals when they are born for the protection of children that are being either abducted or being, become up missing even if it was stillborn. Are we seeing this as somewhat this push for a like a national ID, now they're going to move into this microchip, and once that's it, you're done for all eternity? Or are we looking at a different type of mark?
No, it's going to be you can't buy and sell. So, and it's going to be, reason that it is so absolutely condemned in the book of Revelation is because you give up your will to the system, to the beast, to the chip, and they now have means where they know that they can control people's thoughts, minds.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
See? So this is where it's heading. There will be a chip in the right hand. Now there's even another thing they're working at, which is tattoos that are programmable. Whoa! So they are, if I could put it this way, hell-bent to bring it about. And it's going to come. And God is going to let them do it. And God is going to give the whole world, you're either going to individually repent to God, or you are going to suffer the consequences of this whole system.
Horrible.
It's that simple. It's down to that. See? Now here's the other one. Verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Christ-like, but he's speaking Satan's message.
Mm-hmm.
And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him. So he's with him all the time. He causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Wow.
So that's what's going to happen. And he performs great wonders so that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. So everyone's going to say, ooh, look at that. It must be from God. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Total idolatry. Now, whatever it's not going to be 3D holistic television doing this. It's going to be the real thing. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could also speak. And he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So here's the test that is going to come. First of all, the mark of the beast will be voluntary. Everyone will say, oh, what a wonderful thing. You know, I went to the store today, and I just passed my hand under the you know, the barcode machine. Boop! Everything was there. No one could steal my card. I have my identity. I can buy anything I want.
Mm-hmm. I know what my job, this was my other job, they actually have a, that's where you how you punch in. You put your hand on there. That's how you punch in and out.
Is that right?
Is it now?
Yeah.
True? I never seen it like it. But I said, what is this? And the guy says, oh, that's the clock. I says, he says, no. He said, we have to program it. They take a digital picture of your hand, or I guess.
Okay.
And that's how we started it. And then when I come in the morning, I put a code in, which is my employee code. And then I just put my hand over there, and that punches me in. I don't
care.
Nothing. You know,
now, that technology shows you how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it cannot be a part, it cannot be your body, your hand, that's going to be the mark of the beast. It has to be put upon it or in the forehead.
Oh, okay.
It has to be on your right hand or in your forehead,
mm-hmm.
And the forehead probably, in my opinion, will be the government workers.
Really? Because
that
I
will be superior.
Well, I'm not a government. State worker. But,
okay.
You have to. It is your right hand, though.
Yes. Okay.
Your right hand.
See, you're close to it. Probably the last step before the mark. Okay.
Well, I don't know. My forehead.
Yeah. Now notice, and he that is the beast that was killed but revived causes all, the small, the great, the rich, and the poor, and the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark and the number, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Now let's talk about this for just a bit here, because there are a lot of people who believe that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard that too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, analyze it this way. If it is Sunday worship or Sunday keeping, you can still buy on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if you don't keep the Sabbath, you can buy on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that can't be, because the Greek here means that no one has the ability. It is the absoluteness of not being able to buy and sell. Has nothing to do with the day of worship. Now, stop and think. If they get in a whole world banking system, now then they can start developing the number for this world system, because the world system will be controlled by the beast. Mm-hmm. And then there will come a day which everyone will say, they'll be given the option. Well, you can get this voluntarily. It'll be good. Mm-hmm. Then there will be the day of enforcement. And
wow.
That's when martyrdom is going to happen.
Yeah. And we can only imagine, just use the imagination at this point.
We don't have to imagine very far. They got chips now they can put in the eyes so that people can see. You can put chips into the head so you can think and move cursors on computers. If you want to do a real search, do a Google search on Kurzweil, Ray Kurzweil, and the singularity is near. They want to have everyone so they can hook them up to a computer and enhance the mind, make them better, and all of that is just part of the things leading up to the technology of the mark of the beast.
Wow.
There
was a question that was raised earlier, and they asked the question, and this was from Leon Ritchie, and we're so grateful that you're participating at this point. He asked, how will gold play into all of this? Will it have any value, or will they just do away with the various resources and just go for the mark itself?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Gold and silver, when the currency collapses, will have great value.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, it will be good to have it because it'll keep you from going broke. But, you know, you can only own so much because of the cost of it. But nevertheless, it may help you survive some tough times before the mark of the beast comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But when the tribulation comes, it says that people are going to throw their gold and silver into the streets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the end result of it, see. Mm-hmm. But gold is good, silver is good, platinum is good, all of those commodities are good for the time being, as long as they're still tradable, and it will allow you to buy and sell. But when the mark of the beast comes in, then that will be irrelevant.
How about, do you feel that these anthrax and these swine flu, and how do you feel about these things? Do you think they were homegrown or?
Well, there are many different theories out there about it. There are even warnings, watch out for the swine flu shots and things like this. Myself, our family, we never have taken shots, and we don't do it, and we don't get flu. I remember in the Army every time, that's way back, way, way back. But anyway, when I was in the Army, they gave me the flu shots back then. I always came down with the flu, and I thought, why should I take this flu shot to avoid the flu when I get the flu?
Yeah, right, that's true. But I meant, like, a lot of these theories are that the government is playing games with the biological, you know, warfare or whatever. And
sure they are,
okay.
But sure they are, but it hasn't been unleashed yet. But
mm-hmm.
they will be. All those things will be unleashed. We're going to enter into a time of tribulation which has never before been on the face of the earth in a magnitude that has never been understood, and with such ferocity that it is going to be mind-numbing, and the dead will be just stacked high.
Oh.
That means there's going to be plague. There's going to be
everything.
It just, you know, it's going to be unreal because the world is in rebellion against God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Wayne Julian. He asked the question, what happens if the government wants to confiscate gold and silver? How do you protect yourself from all that?
Well, well, I've heard that if you have collector's coins, you may be exempt from it. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how you protect yourself from it. It depends on how much they know.
Right.
Yeah, about what you have.
Sure.
They
so,
know everything.
Yeah, and after this next sentence is coming up here, census rather, not sentence.
Yes.
But it's almost a sentence. You know, when the workers of Acorn come around and say, oh, what time do you go to work? When the exact time do you leave? When do you come home? How many people live here? What kind of television do you have? See, only thing they're going to get from me is the number of people living in this house. That's all they're required to know. That's it.
That's all. That's all.
See?
Yeah, so, oh, wow. Because a lot of things is coming up to is very much looks like the year 2009, we got something to seriously look into and try to make some plans with family and whoever else, including even fellowships now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we have to get ourselves organized while the going is good.
Right. Well, we're getting ready to launch Church at Home.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
the way.
That's what we're going to be
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so
that's the best way.
Yeah. And so it's you know, when you hear these things, if you're a believer, we all know the signs. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeshua has told us these things
mm-hmm.
going to take place. But for us, we know the end. Thanks to the adversary likes to throw at us the past and even the present. We just remind them of the future. And so it's so good that this discussion is coming up. In fact, let me give you one more. This is one more question, and this is from Wayne Julian again. He's asking, what is church at home? It's house churching, where you get a group of at least 5, 7 to 10 people coming together and just worship. And it gives you, man, I know for a fact that we're already moving in that direction, including we're going to do what we can to use the internet as much as possible while it is still free.
Sure.
And I like for Fred to elaborate on this, and I know we're going to let him go because he himself got to get ready for the Shabbat study himself.
Okay. Well, Church at Home will be designed for people who are not very well acquainted with the Bible and church at all, so that they can, and I will give half-hour sermons on where is God, who is God, how do you find God, how do you know which Bible is a good Bible, what are the days to keep, why should we keep them, how do I worship God at home, why I don't have to, why there is church at home. See, because the church is not the building, it's not the cathedral, the church actually are those who are the ones who have assembled together who have the Holy Spirit of God. That is the church.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's the people, not the building.
Right.
And you can't find God in the government, you can't find him in the schools, you can't find him in the churches.
And
so,
a lot of the churches today are condoning homosexuality, too. So,
of course.
You better just study your Bible. You better not even go to church. It's like almost like that.
Well,
you know?
That's what's going to happen. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, well, the homosexuals aren't going to let you say anything against them. All right. I'll give them I will give them a challenge, which is this. You show me a husband and wife who have been married and faithful to each other, and you tell me why they do not have sexually transmitted diseases.
Very good point.
And they have sex all the time?
That's right.
But why are there sexually transmitted diseases with adultery?
Yes.
And homosexuality?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plus,
yeah,
all the bad health.
Right.
Yep.
So. And why are happily married people healthy?
Yeah.
It's true.
Why are homosexuals laden with disease?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you can answer that question and show me that there are not diseases there, then I'll be happy to shut up.
That's right. Other than that, with all that said and done, Fred, great to have you. And once again, you have an open invitation to come to Insight on the Word at any time. Just
okay.
Don't know when.
Appreciate the invite. I'm going to be busy for quite a bit here, getting a lot of things done. We have the second edition of the Bible coming out.
Oh, okay.
We've got God's Pathway for Children coming out.
Oh.
We've got a lot of things going, so we'll be busy.
And when will you be having your church service coming up on the website?
Yeah, it won't be church service. It will be Bible study, much like we're doing
great.
Here tonight.
Okay, good. And when will that? When can we look to your?
Well, that'll be it. We're the man who's coming down to finish setting up the studio. We're going to do it video.
Oh.
He's going to be here in the next couple of weeks,
okay.
And we need to get that set up, and then we'll be ready to go.
Okay, great. Okay.
And if you want more information, visit www.cbcg.org. There will be more information being provided. And once again, get the resources, get the Bible. It is fantastic. I'm using it myself, and a lot of, and including evangelizing, teaching, and even my own personal study. Fred, once again, thanks so much for joining us, and man, God bless you. And
yes.
Let's do this again.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
I really appreciate it, Fred.
Okay.
You take
so
care.
Do we. Okay.
God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
He's so good, right?
Oh, tell me about it. We got to have this. You know, we got to have Fred again. He's a fantastic guy.
Isn't he something?
Oh, yeah. And with that in mind, Mary did a pretty good job hosting Inside the Word for me for the past 2 weeks. But as all good things do come to an end. Not really. Because Mary will be, I will be back next week. We're going to have Tex Mars from Power Prophecy joining us. And we're going to continue on the conversation on the New World Order. I'm not saying order. It's odor. Because when we get into this at length, you too will be scratching your heads and even will have a number of things that you want to talk about. So it'll be good. And Wayne asked, when will Fred be on next time? Well, God only knows. God willing. He's working on getting a new addition to the Holy Bible out, getting a studio set up, as he said. So other than that, when the Lord, provides the time, he'll come on. So don't worry. But he's been fantastic. I like
that. He certainly has.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and do what we can to support the outreach. Folks, let's be honest. Let's get sincere about this. Time is of the essence. We don't have time to play church anymore.
Mm-mm.
We don't have the time where we have all these doctrinal conflicts and so forth. Now is the time for us to join together and start sharing with people what lies ahead for this planet. If you do not know Yeshua, the good news is it's easy as ABC. A, admit that you have a need. And that need happens to be sin. How to deal with sin. It's the only thing that will destroy your relationship with Yahweh and along with people. For the wages of sin is death. And that is so true. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But then, B, believe that Yeshua HaMashiach came to meet that need. And he did by means of giving himself as a sacrifice so that you don't have to. And then C, call upon God. Don't take my word for it. Look to the word of God and see for yourself the need for salvation, the need to repent, the need to gain forgiveness. Because, let's face it, we can leave this life at any time. And believe me, we have to stand before the greatest personage of the universe. With that in mind, when I hear to twist your arm, you have to make that choice. In over 330 places of Scripture, the word if comes to mind. If means you make that decision. Why don't you, where you are, I don't give out one of these sinner's prayers. It's not sincere, it's not real, and it's not going to come from the heart. But you talk to him, to God alone personally. Ask him for forgiveness and for Yeshua to come into your life and to help you not only love the Word of God, love His commandments, but also love people by applying what you've learned. And that's what wisdom is. Mary Aguilar, in the future, will sit in on my behalf again in the coming week. So, and it will be on August the 7th. So mark that down on your calendar. But in the meantime, you get to have me back. And we're going to continue on with our subject on the New World Order. And once again, thanks so much. I mean, from Canada, from Australia, New Zealand, here in the United States, thanks so much that you have taken this opportunity. We want you to come back again. Many of you who belong into the Christian Biblical Church of God, we welcome you back. This is an opportunity. You want to celebrate the Shabbat, you get to join us. And if you want to join us also before your study, we start our study at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time here in the United States. You can join us, and it'll be like 7:30 Pacific. So if you like, join us. We'd like to have you in our discussion. And it was one that is open. I hope that opened your eyes. You got involved, and we want you to do it again. Mary will sit back on this seat as the host August the 7th, so mark that down on your calendar. But in the meantime, I will be back for another Insight on the Word. Mary, thanks for sitting in on my behalf, and like I said, don't worry, you got a couple more weeks ahead.
Thanks, Derek.
No problem. Just try to have a good morning, and I will talk to you in a bit.
Okay.
About study.
Good night.
Good night. And for all those that are tuning in, once again, thank you so much for allowing us to come to you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. If you have comments, questions, or thoughts regarding the program that you have heard tonight, email me at DerekWitt@yahoo.com, or you can get in touch with me at 315-876-9613, and you can leave your questions, your thoughts, and hopefully we like to use those in a future program so that we can take all your questions and your comments, and we look forward to having you do that. And I will be back again for more Insight on the Word. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And may my God, Yahweh Elohim, be your rear guard in your comings and goings this very day. Shabbat shalom, and I will see you in a bit.